Is it time to up your social media game? Then you need to talk to Kate and Ave Communications, a social media agency located right here in Edmonton, specializing in all things social media, from quality storytelling, content creation, and strategic social media management. So stop doing social media off the side of your desk. Contact Kate and Ave at kateandave.com and give them a follow on Instagram at kateandavecomms, C-O-M-M-S, for great social media content, tips, and tricks. Hello and welcome to The Bit. This is Paulina.
And this is Quinn. And today, unfortunately, we have no Claire, but we have replaced her with some pretty exciting guests that we have really been looking forward to talking to. We teased it a little bit a couple of weeks ago on The Bits, and now it is all happening. We have been waiting for this. So if you don't know, Edmonton Bits listeners, the PWHL is coming to Edmonton. I'm sure you had to know that unless you're living under a rock. Rogers Place is one of 9 neutral sites to host a game as part of the PWHL Takeover Tour. So the Ottawa Charge and Toronto Scepters will face off on February 16th at Rogers Place. And we are stoked to be joined by 2 players from the Ottawa Charge. So first up, the number 2 overall draft pick in the 2024 PWHL draft, 2024 World Hockey Champion. And that would be thanks in big part to her, the game-winning goal scorer in overtime, playing spoilers against the Americans. We have forward Danielle Serdakny and an absolute shot-blocking machine leading her Clarkson University squad with 82 blocked shots in 42 games. 4th-round draft pick of the Ottawa Charge in the 2024 draft. Her hard work earned her a spot on the roster with the Charge this year. We have defenseman Stephanie Markowski with us. Girls, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, excited to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Lucky us. Lucky us on the bit.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Like I said, we have very much been looking forward to this for quite a while now. So we had some hiccups. Steph, how are you feeling, first of all? Because I know you haven't been feeling too well.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. Obviously, you can hear by my voice. I'm still a little bit sick. But yeah, it's been, I think, 2 weeks now since we played in New York. And then just after that, I got the flu and was really sick for a while. So kind of had to postpone the pod with you guys. So sorry about that.
We were prepared to wait as long as it was necessary.
Exactly.
So all is well.
We're just glad you're feeling better. Yeah, sounds rough.
It was not fun.
So I guess, you know, first things first, I forgot to add in the intro, you're both Edmonton girls, grew up in Edmonton, played hockey in Edmonton, went through the system here. What does it mean to you to be able to come back and play at Rogers Place, which is a place that I imagine that you've gone to go watch a lot of hockey?
Yeah, I mean, I think it both means so much to us. I know when we first heard that Edmonton was one of the Takeover Tour spots, we were both really excited. And I know I've talked to a lot of people, friends, family, and even kind of people you've crossed paths with through school, hockey, that sort of thing, that are also planning on attending. So it almost doesn't seem real, but I'm sure when we get to Edmonton and the game kind of officially starts, it will definitely start to hit a lot more. But yeah, definitely looking forward to bringing PWHL hockey out to Western Canada. As I know, Edmonton will welcome us with a lot of pride, I think. So,
Yeah, I'm also just super excited. I know we both have a lot of family coming, and you know, some family that hasn't, at least for me, watched me since probably grade 10. I know my grandpa's super excited. He has a Charge jersey, and both our parents got boxes at the games to kind of throw the grandparents in there and enjoy the game. So we're super excited. And like she said, Edmonton, it's all about hockey there. And you can see by the ticket sales of the game, like, it's just crazy how much people want to see women's hockey in Edmonton. So we just both can't wait to get to the game.
No kidding. Well, what a homecoming, I can imagine. And so you're living this moment right now and seeing all of this happening. Can you see a team coming to Edmonton for the PWHL? I mean, we'd love to see it, but what do you guys think?
I mean, yeah, I could definitely see it. I think, in a way, this takeover tour is kind of like a tryout for those different cities on like what cities are bringing in the energy and kind of just long term. So, I think if Edmonton had a team, they definitely bring great crowds and great energy. I can only imagine. So, I think the game on the 16th will be a good testament to what they're all about. So, yeah, but definitely could see it one day for sure.
Hopefully our listeners are prepared to really rally on the 16th.
I
Whoever's
think that
listening,
they,
you better bring it because we want a team.
yeah, absolutely. And you know, I can speak for the city a little bit. I work for the Edmonton Downtown Business Association. I used to work at Explore Edmonton. The city is really looking to rally to make it, you know, to show the PWHL what Edmonton can do. So we're pretty excited about that. You know, obviously we haven't seen the PWHL out here, and I'm sure some have watched it on TV. But you know, what can people expect?
I think that they can expect obviously a quality product. There's so many good players in our league, and I think for a long time, since there was no sustainable women's league, that people couldn't really have access to that. So I would just say a quality product, and also the games are super fun. Our fans are super passionate in our markets. So I think a lot of fans are actually coming in from Ottawa and Toronto fans from our market, so they'll kind of get to see how passionate our fans are and how welcoming and involved they are.
There's fans from Ottawa coming.
Oh yeah, they're very diehard here. They're awesome. They
Love
have
that.
all their custom gear they make themselves, and yeah, they told us they're coming to the Edmonton game and they're so excited. So they have their tickets booked, and yeah.
Oh, that's
Okay,
amazing.
we're talking about the gear. We got to do this. We got to ask. The colors, the logo, girls from Edmonton. You know, we hate that team down south here. There's some similarities. Can you tell us your instant first reaction when you saw that? Did you see it yourself?
yeah, I mean, when I first saw it, I definitely thought of the Calgary Flames, I'd say. And then you're kind of scrolling through X and you're just seeing all like the comparisons. So I think that was kind of my immediate reaction. But I think when you're part of a team and program, obviously the logo and name comes up, like becomes a part of your identity. So I'd say it's definitely grown on me for sure. Unfortunately, it is the rival Calgary Flames colors, but yeah, it's definitely grown on me. And I think the charge, I think it just kind of suits our team and program and also our fan base. So I know a lot of people really like that.
Awesome. We just had to ask because as soon as we saw it, we were just like, I mean, that definitely looks familiar.
It's to me, it is the Ottawa Charge logo now. It's I'm not thinking about the Flames. We don't think about the Flames anymore. They're
No,
not really that
they're
interesting to
irrelevant.
us. Yeah,
Although
and
right
so
now the Oilers and Flames might face off in the first round,
that's great.
as
That
it
is fun
stands.
for
But yeah,
us. Yeah, that's
yes,
amazing. I'd
exactly.
love to see us beat them again in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't as triggered as maybe like Quinn and Claire because I lived in Calgary for a time, but I was like, yeah, it's a little Calgary Flames-ish, but it's Ottawa Charge now. So,
Yeah, that's all that matters.
and going back to, so we have some Ottawa fans coming to the game on the 16th, and then we have some Toronto fans coming as well. We were curious, you know, what the divide with Edmonton, you know, Edmonton fan base was going to be like. Are we going to see more Ottawa Charge fans or more Toronto fans? But it looks like we've got both coming from each market, which is interesting. I personally think we're not going to cheer for Toronto in Edmonton.
I'm never going to cheer for Toronto in Edmonton. So, unless one of you ends up there.
That's right. With that being said.
I feel like there'll be more Charge fans just
Yeah.
because we're the home team, like that game technically, and also we have us and then Mashmeyer, and then even Carlos from Alberta, our head coach. So I think we'll get the love.
That makes
Yeah,
sense.
I'm hoping.
I've thought about it with just Darnell Nurse and Sarah Nurse. Like,
That's the
obviously,
only
Sarah
thing.
Nurse is
Yeah,
a
of
huge name,
course.
and they've got that connection. So, I mean, hopefully, the Ottawa Charge fans and Edmonton
Hopefully,
fans that cheer for the Charge can kind of bring that energy, though.
especially with all the
Absolutely.
hometown power. that we've got on the charge. So yeah, I think so too.
So we're just going to move into, a little bit about the team. What has the culture been like on the team, and who are you guys in the locker room?
Okay, yeah, I feel like the culture has been really good. Obviously, we kind of have a variety of people from different places, but I think everyone kind of has a place in the locker room, regardless of your personality, which I think is really important because that's not always the case, I feel like, with hockey. But yeah, I mean, me and Steph are, we kind of, it's been nice because we have each other. So regardless of even if at the start of the season or throughout different things, it's always nice to have each other for sure, which definitely made that transition into the team environment easier. But I would say, yeah, everyone's super nice, and you can be yourself. I mean, sometimes you get chirped or hear about it, but it's all kind of tough love, and it's coming from like a nice place. And we've also kind of talked about that. We're the type of people too that if we're not chirping you, then you maybe should be a little worried, just because that's we're just such sarcastic people, and that's kind of how we really bond with people. So that part's been really good, I'd say.
Yeah, no, I love the team. We have a good group, and yeah, just like kind of what she said, we've known each other for so long that people joke we're attached at the hip every day, and so that's made it fun. And yeah, we have a upbeat locker room too, so I think it's a good culture.
And how is it finding your role when everyone is new to both the team and the league, and with varying levels of experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think for both of us, it was a bit of an adjustment coming from college. I mean, she spent 1 year at Ohio State, but I was at the same school for the past 5 years, so you get pretty comfortable in your spot and kind of like as a player in person. So I'd say for as far as that, I mean, I still sometimes I'm trying to figure out how I can best help the team, I'd say, on the ice. But I mean, at the end of the day, the team picked you for a reason, so just continuing to play to your strengths and hoping to help the team out too, I think is important too.
Yeah, I would agree with what she said. And coming in as a rookie, you don't really know exactly what you're going to expect. But like she said, you were picked for a reason, and you just kind of have to play to your strengths. And no matter what happens, just always continue to grow and learn as a player. And that's really all you can do. And then opportunities will come from there.
Well, you said it yourselves. You're together a lot. They joke that you're attached at the hip. What is it like being together all the time? You live together, you play together. How do you handle that? Because that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's been great. I mean, someone asked us a few days ago because we're also roommates on the road, and they're like, "Do
Oh.
you ever get sick of each other?" And we're like, "Honestly, no, because I feel like we can just read off each other. Like when one is not talking, like I feel like you just kind of like read the vibe because we've known each other for so long that you're not gonna be yapping their ear off if they're like in a bad mood. So that part's honestly been great. Like, yeah, we're together all the time, but we also kind of consider each other family. Like our families are super close too. So when you need your space, I feel like you just go to your room, and yeah. So that part has been awesome for sure.
Yeah, I know it's weird. People always think we get sick of each other, but somehow we don't. But I also think it's because, like, when you're with your best friend or your family, you don't really have to use energy when you're hanging out. Like, we could be on the couch, and half the time I forget she's there. So it's just not energy.
Who's the clean one in the house then?
I don't know. We go through phases. I
Yeah.
think at the start of the year, I was like super clean and OCD, but then I got really sick, and then I think you took over a lot. And she'll get like weird little things, like a vacuum, like just random things that she'll love to use and clean up. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel
We're
like we're
kind of
both pretty
even.
even.
We're
Just
even
depends on the day
on
or
the day.
week.
Someone's
Yeah.
juggling the
Someone
entire,
has to carry the
the
load.
other will take
Yeah.
over.
That's a good partnership in
Yeah.
the household, honestly. It's like you
Definitely.
pick up the slack when the other person needs you to pick up the slack. I also love that you said she likes weird things like vacuums, like a pretty normal like
No, but
housekeeping item for
she
cleaning.
gets like really weird things. Like she got a mixologist thing. I don't know, a cocktail like
Oh,
thing
yeah,
where it
okay.
just puts a pod in. It's like an espresso with that.
Yeah.
She has like really random things. I'm not kidding. Like a bunch of weird stuffies around. Like, yeah, it's all her. It's not me. I don't really, I just see 5 packages a day at the door and bring them in. And I don't even look if that's my name on it because I'm just like,
You're like, this
sir.
is not mine.
It's Danielle's. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Well, what is the style of your apartment then? Danielle, tell me your design tips.
Well, I don't know if
Build
it's
the
more
house.
design or we actually live in a
Yeah.
house, so I feel
Oh,
like
okay.
that. I feel like we're both fairly clean people, but like it's just different when you're in a full house because obviously you don't have like your mom and stuff to like clean up after you. So like, especially in like what our house is like decently, we're renting it out obviously, but sometimes when you're like having early practice and you're a little tired, you're not like, oh my gosh, I need to pull out the vacuum. So it's like we both just kind of want to relax for a bit, but. I mean, yeah, I feel like we try and
We keep it clean,
keep it
but
clean, but
yeah.
okay. Well, we want to talk a little bit about, your origin stories of hockey. So, why don't you just, tell us how you got into the game and just growing up playing hockey in Edmonton, kind of what was your path?
Yeah, I can start. Well, I come from a big hockey family, just with my dad and his involvement with hockey. So I have an older sister, Brooke, who they put into skating lessons. I think she was 3 or 4. And I think just being at the rink and our family's involvement with hockey, my parents were kind of just like, oh, like we should like put her into skating lessons. I think they actually had to initially lie about my age just because I think you had to be like 3 or something, and I was like 2.5. So I think the instructor kind of was like, oh, like are you sure? And I think my parents kind of just went with it because my sister was already doing the skating lessons, but maybe at the start there, I might have been rolling on the ice a little bit, but I think it got better with time. But from there, I kind of just played Timbits hockey. I played with the boys up until grade 10. So I played for SSAC, Southwest Zone, SWAT, and then a year of MLAC. And then in grade 10, played for the Edmonton Pandas at the time, which I think it's called the Edmonton Junior Oilers. That program kind of took over for the female game, which I think was also a really good thing. And then grade 11 and 12, we both actually moved to Pursuit of Excellence, it was called at the time, in Kelowna. And then kind of from there, obviously spent 5 years at Colgate and now in Ottawa. So I think definitely my parents and siblings had a huge influence on kind of why I started playing and yeah.
Yeah, and then for me, I didn't come from a huge hockey family. My dad played hockey, but wasn't very good, like junior B at best, I think.
The jungle.
Yeah, which I bug him about all the
Yeah.
time when he
Shout out
tries to
Steph's
get
dad.
yeah. But no, I asked my dad, my two best friends growing up, they were starting to play hockey, and so we'd play mini sticks together. So I just asked my dad if I could play, and he was like, yeah, for sure. I have a older sister. She never played. She did figure skating. So it was kind of my own decision to start playing just because I loved it and my friends were doing it. And then I played boys hockey until I was in Bantam and I switched to girls. And then played Pursuit of Excellence in high school. And then, yeah, I went to Clarkson University for 4 years. And then we had the extra COVID year, so I decided to transfer to Ohio State, and then I played there for a year, and then got drafted to Ottawa. Now I'm here.
Do you call it the Ohio State?
See, I didn't say the
I was wondering
because
if you're gonna say
the
that.
Ohio State. No, people say that, but I don't know. I just feel weird saying it, and I knew he would be like, "Oh my God, the Ohio State."
Well,
So I didn't say it, but.
know Tessa Bonham played there, and all that's how every the Ohio State. I was like,
Yeah.
okay, cool
Yeah,
it.
I know. I maybe next time I'll say it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Danielle, I specifically remember reading your name in highlights. I worked at Global News for quite a while, so I actually remember reading your name in the highlights of the boys game, and I always thought, wow, good for her, because that would be too scary for me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't even know. Like, I feel like I that was just so used to it that like some situations now that I think about it that I would be in, I was just like, Oh my gosh. Like, and I was such like I was a pretty quiet kid too. So like I just remember one time we were on like vacation in Phoenix, and like I think I had like a spring hockey tournament after. So my dad brought my gear, and like looking back on it now, I was like, how did I do that? And he just like put me on the ice with a random boys team in Phoenix to practice with for a day. And like now looking back, I'm like, I honestly don't even know how that happened or why that happened, but like I feel like situations like that kind of just make you tougher and I guess experience different things. But yeah, I mean the boys were always super, super great, like to both of us when we both played for the most part. Like lots of them would have your back, and they were great kids too. So that kind of made it easier for sure.
That's good. Yeah, you both played on boys teams growing up. What was that like, and do you think it changes the experience today? I know you talked a little bit about what that experience was then, but what how do you think that changes the experience today?
I would say just honestly, it kind of pushes you in different ways. Like I feel like at the time, like there was very few girls playing with the boys, which is like totally fine. Like it all depends on the route you want to take. But being a girl, I think you never want to be like the player, like, oh, like she's on the ice, like you want to be like the best you can be, and like you don't want to be known as like, oh, the girl that's like not very good. So definitely pushed me a lot, which I think kind of helped at various levels. And I think you just kind of, I would say, like as far as like it definitely like keeps you humble too, which I think is an important trait throughout life too. Like I mean being the only girl on the team, like you're in your own locker room, you're getting changed in like a closet, like sometimes the bathroom, like that sort of thing. But I think that's also what made the transition to girls hockey so special too, because you're kind of a part of the locker room and you get to experience different things. And but obviously there's stuff in girls hockey, I'd say like drama and stuff that you don't really deal with boys. So both definitely have their pros and cons, but yeah, I would say both great experiences for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I enjoyed playing boys hockey, and I think a lot of the development at a young age was due to that. And we had great coaches, and like she said, you don't want to be the girl that no one wants to play with. So it really pushes you every day to try to keep up with the boys because they're so good. And yeah, you definitely learn a lot of life lessons because you kind of are that odd man out, just because you are the only girl on the team and you're getting changed in, yeah, janitor closets, and it's kind of humbling. And like even guys on the other team will chirp you, and you know you're a girl and stuff, but you can't let that bother you. And then when I transitioned to girls earlier than her, I found like it just helps being part of a team that you're kind of not even more accepted because the guys were accepting. Just you can dress with everyone. It's easier to become friends with, and there's kind of more of a future for you in the game. So I think even with the PWHL now, it's cool to be on a girls team because you can aspire with those same girls to play pro with them. So I think it's changed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak from personal experience. Again, just a history lesson on me. My dad was the radio play-by-play guy for the Oilers for 37 years. And so I was in a hockey family as well. I was around the rink all the time. I loved being around the rink. And I remember when my parents asked me to play hockey. And keep in mind, this was, 20 years before you girls as well, right? So I distinctly remember saying to them, no, I don't want to. It's a boys' sport, which to this day breaks my heart. Just, as lovers of hockey and girls who weren't as bold and brave as you, because I wasn't, right? What does it mean to now have, girls teams, girls leagues, all of that, like growing up from the beginning, you don't ever have to play with the boys now.
Yeah, I think it means so much. You kind of alluded to that point on being bold, but I think that boldness kind of got women's hockey to where it is today. Like, there's still going to be people saying, oh, they're equivalent to a bantam team or whatever, but there's always going to be people hating. And I think that just kind of motivates us and every women's hockey player to keep pushing those limits forward, because I think we've seen through this past year and a half just all the amazing things that women's hockey can accomplish with the record-breaking crowds. And just like seeing, honestly, little girls, like even we've been practicing at Carleton and there's like 30 little girls just watching our practice. And I mean, you're just like, how cool is that? That they can like look up to you and like aspire to play in the PWHL. And I know most of that you have to give thanks to all the current and previous players and trailblazers that really paved the way for players like us who were pretty fortunate just coming out of college and being able to step into a really incredible league. So definitely really grateful as well.
Yeah, and like she said, when we're at our different markets and playing games, you really get to see how many fans there are, and all the little girls that we interact with, they always say like, my dream is to play in the PWHL, and to hear that from those little girls is so special, because when I was younger, I didn't know anything but the NHL, and like I would watch the Olympics, but even that, I mean, it's every 4 years and you don't really see those girls online or on the TV ever. So to hear them say that, it's super special. And even young boys will come up and want our autograph and think we're like the coolest people ever, which is crazy. So it's just amazing how far we've come in women's sports in general. And I think we're just really proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, and you just mentioned, young boys, it's not just for the girls, right? Young boys are super excited about it too. Claire, who is our other co-host, her son is huge PWHL fan. He knows players' names. He gets really excited about the games. So I love that it's not just for the girls. It's for everyone. There's a fan base, for all kids, which is really exciting to see.
Yeah, and that too, like for girls and boys, but also for like adults as well. Like, honestly, like even if they've been a lover of hockey for so many years, and there really hasn't been like a sustainable professional women's hockey league. So now that they have something to cheer for, and I just think, yeah, it's all so special. And I think sometimes we almost not forget it, but when you're kind of living through the stressors of your daily life, you kind of forget what you're kind of being like a part of. And I think just like having this conversation and talking about all the great things that have come from it is really important too.
I have to ask, I just have to go. We're going backwards a little bit here, but like if a boy chirped you on the team, like was it, did you like all you want to do is like Steph, like stand them up at the blue line or something, or like Danielle, just go score a ridiculous goal on them? Like I'd be fuming.
Yeah, I probably did hit them. Honestly, there is some stories that like I was a bigger kid. I was tall. I was honestly taller than a lot of the boys. So
Yes.
yeah, I would hit them like in whatever, and my dad would love it too. There's some pretty funny stories. Like some of the moms in the crowd one time were like, "Oh, hit that girl," and they didn't obviously know that it was my dad sitting beside them. And they must have not liked that a girl was playing with the boys. And he went around the net and I hit him and he fell down. And my dad stood up and goes, "How does that feel? Like, how does the ice feel getting hit by a girl?" to the moms. And then he walked out and left. And I was so embarrassed. I'm like, "Dad, like, why would you do that?" But I mean, he was obviously, like you said, just mad that they were kind of cheering against the only girl on the ice. But I don't know. Most of the time, I feel like both of us were pretty good at just letting it brush off your shoulder, because you can't take it too personal, because people like that, they don't really know what they're talking about, and obviously have their own insecurities.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, obviously, like in the time, I was probably worse at managing my emotions when someone would chirp, but it's like, I don't know. It's just a strange thing to do, like, especially for parents and stuff, like to be like chirping the only girl. It's like, well, she's good enough to be on the ice. So, like, why are you like just that sort of thing? But, like you mentioned, I think a bit of it could be insecurity or whatever else. But I mean, yeah, there's definitely some stories growing up of the guys going after you, and you just kind of got to expect it. But
I can only imagine.
That's
Definitely
insane.
insecurity and just not understand, like especially the parents, like you'd think that they would know better, but
You can
unfortunately
just
not
see.
always the case.
And you can just see societally how much more like girlhood has like grown, because like now I don't imagine that the moms in the stand would be like, they'd be like,
No.
God damn, there's a girl out there and that's awesome, right? You know? So, oh, that's frustrating to me. Sorry you went through
Yeah.
that.
Okay. No, there's a lot of good though that came from it too. Like, especially parents on the team,
Oh
like,
yeah. On our own teams,
so
they were
supportive.
awesome. Like, I never had a bad parent. They were always like girl power, like wanted
That's
me to.
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the opposing moms were a little jealous, and you
They're
know, I
jealous. Yeah.
imagine those boys are now just working construction somewhere. So this is a female-led podcast, so we like to rip on the men a little bit, just a bit. Okay, well, I mean, I want to talk a little bit about the international game. I mean, now that we, you know, have a sustainable, I mean, Europe's had leagues for a while now, women, female leagues. But how do you see the international game growing now that there is this sustained North American league? Because I think that's been part of, you know, I don't want to be too negative about it, but that's been, you know, part of like the tough growth internationally, I think, for women's hockey, is because the parity just isn't quite there. I mean, US and Canada, like, we love that rivalry. I despise the Americans. I want to see you girls beat them every single time. But it would, you know, it'd be nice to, I think, see a few other nations kind of get there. And do you agree? And how do you see that growing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the PWHL is a great thing for hockey all over the world. I think it will create more opportunities as well, even just for some European players, whether they want to come over and play college in the States or in Canada, or even just coming over to play in the PWHL. I think that's all are really, really great things for both women's hockey, but also the PWHL. And like you mentioned, that international play. Even for us, we have some really, really good European players, which I feel like you maybe didn't even always realize, in certain cases, is you're always kind of just like on your national team or whatever, but kind of getting to see them firsthand and realizing how good they are, but also like how much potential all those teams will have, like specifically Finland, Sweden, Czechia. All those different teams have players that are in the PWHL. So I think that'll just kind of inspire and push more people from their national teams or development teams to come over and play and hopefully kind of elevate the level for everyone. So I think it'll be a really great thing for sure.
Who's the top European team right now, would you say?
I think it's between Finland and Czechia. They've been, I think, in the bronze medal game like the past 3 years together. But yeah, we have a very skilled Finnish defenseman. So
Ooh.
I think we're both really
Yeah.
impressed with her. And you don't always get to see that side just on in the international game. So that's been really cool.
Awesome. I want to ask, so you look at the NWSL, the WNBA, the WNBA in particular over recent years has kind of exploded. It's been there, you know, it's been there for a long time, but you've seen that sort of shift over the past couple of years in how it's exploded in popularity. NWSL, of course, has had its fan base solid for a while. What do you think, or what do you see for the next 5 years of the PWHL? What does that look like, do you think?
I mean, I think both of us can only hope that it's kind of similar to the WNBA and women's college basketball situation. I think a lot of people know this, but like a lot of it comes from the media and the visibility of it all. Because when you think about it, if Caitlin Clark wasn't getting that attention on social media and on TV, I just like she just helped grow the WNBA specifically and women's college basketball so much. But obviously, she had that attention, that obviously very well deserved attention, like she should have been. But I just think it's so incredible that those players have been pushing for so long, too. And I think now is a really good time to be a woman in sports, whether that's basketball or hockey or soccer, like you mentioned. So I think we have very kind of high hopes of women's hockey and the future of it, and kind of those takeover tour games, I also think are so important too to just show the sport, because obviously we're pretty out east here, the six teams. So continuing to kind of grow the game across North America, I think, is really important too. And the media coverage has definitely been really good too as well.
I think it's important, like she said, the media coverage and even just the podcast with the PWHL with Tessa and stuff. That really helps because just fan engagement, obviously with women's sports and watching it, people want to know us personally too. So I think that helps. And just doing stuff like this, podcasts or outing events, so you can build relationships with the fans and not only deliver a really good product, but kind of see who you are as a person and a player definitely helps and I think will really grow the game.
Definitely. I think the timing is great for the PWHL, just because there's clearly been such an appetite for women's sports that we've seen lately. So I think the timing is great and setting us up for a success there. So
We'll just move into some rapid fire questions here, and then we can wrap things up. So I guess first things first, if you could describe each other on the ice in three words, what would they be?
I would say really deceptive. Okay, deceptive. It's just one word, right? fast and really good shot. I know really good shots more than one, but that just
Yeah.
count. We'll
Love
allow
it. Yeah,
it.
three descriptors.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't know what to say though.
So
No,
deceptive. I'm trying to think of thoughtful words, so I'm not just
I
like
know, that's why I
good.
know.
I would
So
say
I was just gonna say though, deceptive in the sense that like you don't necessarily expect, what you're gonna get.
yeah, just like I feel like you have good patience. Like oftentimes, I think in girls hockey too, people kind of rush the plays or stuff, but she'll take that extra half a second or make a skilled move and like let's say pull the puck in to like kind of chip to space to get someone. So as a defender, especially I've been going against her my whole life basically. That's the hardest one. You're unpredictable. So that's what I
Got
mean.
it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. For years, I would say smart. I mean, I think in the women's game, like hockey IQ, I feel like is not hard to come by, but like to have like really smart players that kind of see the whole ice as special. The second one would be strong. Obviously, like you mentioned, we've gone against each other for many, many years, and even in practice, you're definitely one of the ones that I don't look forward if we're doing anything like battle like. But I know you would never hurt me or anything, but I'm definitely like shit. Excuse my language. And
We
then
swear all the time.
I would,
It's fine.
And then your shot, I would say. You have a really good shot from the point. I mean, not always like hard, but like you mentioned, like as a forward who has to stand in front of the net, it's like you're thinking about where you're placing the shot rather than just like shooting as hard as you can, like almost like head high. So I think those three things describe you. I mean, as a forward too, when you're standing in front and getting boxed out and then a D is ripping a shot and you have no idea where it's gonna go. It's
Yeah, that's
definitely
tough.
scary. So
I wouldn't want
yeah,
that.
so that
Oh, forwards are very brave.
I mean, I don't
I mean,
think
we're boxing
part of
in
it's not
front,
part of
so
it's not
yeah, no, that's fair. And I
not
talked about your
awful,
blocking
but
shots, Steph,
I
so I should
want to
respect
get
that
in
too,
the
because
back of my leg. I don't know.
yeah, fair.
Favorite city to play in?
Other than like Ottawa, like away city or.
Let's go with Away City.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say Montreal. They have a really good DJ there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they have a DJ in the game and the fans are so loud there. Like by the end of the game, my ears hurt and I have a headache because
Really?
they're so loud. And so the energy is so good there and they have a good setup and I have some my sister's from Montreal and my cousin, so they'll often come to games. So that's my favorite.
Yeah, I would say Montreal as well. I mean, hopefully Edmonton takes over as that, but yeah, Montreal, their fans were really, really loud. And it's like an exciting loud. Like you're just like excited to kind of hopefully silence the crowd. So I think that one was most special this year.
After
Okay,
the
I'm gonna
16th, you'll say Edmonton, but that's,
Obviously. Okay, this one's gonna make you think a little. What is your ultimate starting lineup with a mix of NHL and PWHL? Who plays the best together? Who matches each other's skill sets?
Well, we gotta put Pooh.
Yeah.
She's
Pooh
just
is oh,
a
obviously,
lock.
yeah.
Best ever. She's a lock on there.
Ooh.
Well, we're both big Oilers fans. We have to have McDavid, I would say, you think, or no, Draisaitl? Oh, how about all three? Yeah, how about
Pooh.
all three?
Honestly, that I
That's
could
your
do without two of them.
starting
Three centers,
forward line.
like, but I mean, yeah.
Let's do
I
that.
mean, they're
That's
centers,
lethal.
but we'll put Pooh up the middle. McDavid and Draisaitl can take the wings, and
Yeah,
yeah,
who's
those
on
three.
D? Who do we got on D?
Who are you thinking?
Well, let's go goalie. I think honestly, Mash is a good pick. Like Mash Meyer on our team. She's been playing so good this year and stole us some games. So I would put
She
her
yeah,
in.
she
Yeah,
saves
she saves us a
us for
lot.
sure.
Honestly, we owe her a lot.
Yeah, we owe her a lot.
Okay, and then what D do you want from NHL? We got one NHL,
NHL.
one PWHL,
Okay.
maybe.
On the NHL, I'm thinking Cale Makar.
Yeah, that's a good. I was gonna say him or Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, those are
So,
my two.
Yep.
And PWHL.
PWHL defender. I feel like this year, who's having a good year? Keller's having a good year.
Yeah, I was
Just thinking of
thinking
an American.
Keller or Renata Fast.
Yeah,
I feel
they're
like.
both super good.
Yeah.
So, who are we going with? Keller or not a fast? You pick.
Well, if we can just go with, well, they're both great options, but we'll go with Renata Fast to keep it the all Canadian minus
True.
Drysdale.
Nice.
So we'll go
I
with him.
mean,
He's essentially.
no notes on this lineup.
Yeah.
You nailed the assignment.
Yes. Okay, what is your go-to pump up song in the locker room?
She has weird music taste, so that's
Don't
actually
think
a
it's weird.
funny
I just
question.
don't. We've talked about this before. I'm not a big like rap EDM like I listen to like slower music before the
She'll
game.
listen to just High School Musical.
Like
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
always High School Musical and then like I really like Coldplay. So they've got some like good songs. One specifically called Everglow, which I wouldn't play it out loud on the team speaker, but like in my headphones, definitely. So
And
sure.
I'm like on aux a lot of the time in the locker room.
Oh, you're the DJ. All
I'm the
right.
DJ. It's a big responsibility, but yeah, I don't know how I got that role. But yeah, I don't know. I listen to a lot of rap before the game, try to get myself pumped up. But I don't know if I have like one song I always go to. And if I did, I probably couldn't say it on the podcast anyway, because they're really hardcore rap. So
Okay.
yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
hardcore rap. I mean,
Yeah.
Kendrick gets me fired up right now,
Oh,
so I
Kendrick's
hope Kendrick is in
really
the
good.
mix a little bit.
No, he is. Yeah,
Oh,
Kendrick.
good.
We got Pop Smoke. We got like a bunch of different people.
Damn,
So a
okay.
balance. We've got like the inspirational Coldplay, and then we've got the fun, hardcore other
Yeah.
side of it.
Yeah, but we'll just listen. Like, if we're together, well, we always are together before the game, but we'll do like some country. We always,
Yeah.
what's the one we always listen? Oh, Broadway Girls. We'll
Broadway
always put
Girls.
that on when we're going. I
Yeah.
always say, put it on, like, we're going to the rink because
Morgan
it's like our walk
Wallen.
in. So, yeah.
Nice. Superstitions, yes or no?
I have some. Do
Like,
you?
yeah, but like, not to like a crazy extent where you're like going crazy on game day because this one superstition. But like, if like we're winning or if I'm playing like well, like I try and keep something a little bit consistent.
Well, we
So.
have a our superstition before each game. I did this last year with my Ohio State team, and I'll fill up like three little Gatorade cups, and me, her, and Man and McMahon on our team, we'll just fill it up with random stuff and just do a cheers, and then take it before every game. So I mean, that's a little
Yeah,
superstition we do.
a little
But
speech
yeah, a
too.
little speech. We each person has to go around each game and do a speech. So.
Cute.
Yeah.
What do you think? One or two more, Quinn, or
Yeah, sure, let's do that.
okay.
We have a long list of them right here,
And
so
there's
we're
so
just
many
trying
fun
to pick
ones, but
them.
I'm trying to be selective. Okay, this is one of the one that I just really want to know. So, favorite hockey jersey of all time?
Oh, mine would be the 2006 oil drop jersey. I don't know why. I literally,
Really?
yes, the one with like the oil drop, like the dark blue one.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm just
I
surprised,
think
I
that was
guess.
one of my first jerseys too, and I've been trying to get like one, like I know they do like they've recreated them kind of, but like I had one and I don't know where it went, and it still like bothers me because like I think in like the 2022 playoff run I wore it a lot, but that's like literally like the one jersey that I wish the Oilers would bring back because
Kind of
I'm
underrated, right? That I'm
yeah
so that's why
oh
I
yeah
say I'm surprised. But it okay, cool.
yeah it what's is that the one that at the Oiler game I said I want that jersey or what one's that? That might
I
have
have a
been
different one I think, but I don't know like how to describe it. You would know, you're
which
better at that.
is it one of
The
their
with the cream kind of
I think that
the
was their Heritage
yeah.
Classic.
Oh, the Heritage Classic one. The most
That's
recent
my
Heritage Classic one, yeah.
yeah, that's my favorite for sure. I really want to get that
Yeah, that
jersey.
one's nice. That's
Love
cool.
that one. Yeah. So both Oilers jerseys. You didn't have to choose Oilers, but I like that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're big fans.
okay. Okay, you spent a lot of time at the rink. Favorite rink snack? Is there a go-to?
I feel like at Kinsmen Arena, I used to love their like fries and gravy. I don't know why. Like,
Oh,
I just
yeah.
have like a distinct memory of like that. And then they'd have like vinegar on the side. And I just feel like after
Yeah,
a
I
hot,
remember
they're like,
those
they were
too.
like the certain fries,
Yeah,
the,
I know the crinkle kind of.
the crinkle
Yeah, they
ones.
were so good. And then I would always get a slushie too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't
Slushies are
know, those were,
go-to.
I would get the fries and then a
Yeah.
slushie.
So funny thinking about
Oh,
eating that way now. Like if that
I
was like your pregame meal or something, it's
know.
like, oh,
Could not do that now.
yeah, absolutely. All
Okay,
right, round
one.
us out.
I was
Yeah.
gonna say one more, because you both are so busy. I gotta know if you do get downtime, what is your go-to show to binge or comfort show to watch?
We watch so many shows, like it is insane. We look at Netflix, watch this, but we're watching a really a good one now. Is it called The Agent?
The Night
The Agent,
Night
season
Agent.
two.
Okay.
It's on Netflix, so
It's really good.
that one's been good. But we've kind of done a
We're big like
variety.
movie people too, like Harry Potter. We both Oh yeah,
love
love
Harry. We
Harry
went to
Potter.
Harry Potter World in London together. Like we're big fans, so
Love that,
yeah.
love that. And
We'll
Harry
binge it.
Potter is a great marathon.
Oh
Oh
yeah.
yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, any parting words for Edmontonians before you arrive? Anything you want to tell them?
No, just thank you for the support. I mean, like we mentioned earlier, we hope there's lots of Ottawa fans and hopefully lots of fans from the Edmonton area cheering us on, and we're really looking forward to it. And yeah, it's kind of your tryout for a PWHL team, so hopefully you guys bring the energy, and we know you will. So
Exactly. Just that, nothing else.
All
We gotta
right.
bring it.
Yeah, that is a promise. We will. All right. Danielle Serdachny, Stephanie Markowski, thank you so much for joining us. Again, the PWHL takeover at Rogers Place, February 16th. It's the Ottawa Charge against the Toronto Scepters. I'm going to say that with a little less enthusiasm because we're Ottawa Charge fans. That's all for the bits today. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on another
See you
time.
another time.